Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Today, we are at Restore Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County, Tennessee. We've got all sorts of playhouses going up. We've got the Titans here. We've got the Predators here. Volunteers from all over. And we, of course, appreciate our friends over at Pella Windows and Doors for inviting us out here. It is an absolute privilege to be here with Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County. We'll get back into your Preds thoughts. I know an absolute heartbreaker on Friday night, but we transition into Titans talk with our friend TD. Teron Davenport brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, we had Tyler Boyd in town this past week. Before we get into some specifics on that, just overall, your initial impressions and your thoughts of the Titans' interest in Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a tie, right, with Brian Callahan. They were together in his days and years, et cetera, in Cincinnati. So it makes sense. I think it makes sense for Will Levis, too. You look at just what young quarterbacks like, right? They like guys who are able to work the middle of the field and be very reliable, know where they want to be, and know that they're going to catch the football. And that's exactly what Tyler Boyd is. So it's a match there. This is a move or something that I thought they should look into a while ago, and I think it makes absolute sense.
It's a natural fit, obviously, with the Brian Callahan connection, and also, you know, need a third guy. I would love for it to be Treylon Burks, but can't always count on Treylon Burks to be able to step up, stay healthy, be consistently on the field. I know that that Tyler Boyd left Nashville without a deal, but TD, have you heard anything about how that visit went or if there could be a deal on the horizon?
No, I haven't heard anything. I was just told that he was there, and that was when he was actually visiting them. That's all that I got, and I mean, we'll see what happens, right? You know, you got Zay Jones in town now, so it's yet another option.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport. Teron, now, can we just look at this as, because I know when the info came out that Tyler Boyd was leaving L.A. to come here to visit, people just assume, oh, my goodness, he's going to sign. And my thing was, well, the Titans are not really in a rush to have – they don't have to sign him, so they're not in a rush to sign him. In regards to them signing him, how much do you think they're going to wait on, you know, how this thing play out with their own receivers? Because, again, you know, you can bring him in. They did this with D-Hop last year. They brought him in early, sat down, had a talk with him, and then he left. 2-3 weeks later, they end up signing him. That could be the same situation here, but I was even thinking maybe they wait a little bit longer just to see, you know, if what we have in the room is enough.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where they're willing to wait, but I think they would get the deal done earlier than normal if the number is right. I think that's really what it is that price has to get right. Because if it's to the point where it's one of those things where you bring him in and, hey, he helps, but Treylon Burks emerges, now you're like, okay, well, you know, you could just move on after that year and have Burks, you know, who emerges. But if he doesn't, then it's like, okay, well, you have your security blanket. So I think it's kind of like a win-win situation for them as long as Treylon Burks emerges. It all really, even though we're talking about signing another receiver, it all really falls on Treylon Burks.
Now, what do you want to see out of this first rookie minicamp, TD? Because obviously these guys are coming in. Some of these guys are going to be counted on to contribute and contribute early. So what do you want to see out of these young guys that first day of rookie camp?
Yeah, I want to see how quickly Cedric Gray is able to get lined up and know where he's supposed to be. That's something I'll be watching for with him. T'Vondre Sweat, I mean, the big thing is like, okay, well, let's see, you know, what your conditioning is as you're reporting to camp. We remember a couple years ago with Treylon Burks when he checked in, it wasn't exactly right. Let's see if T'Vondre Sweat can get off on the good foot, so to speak. And that's something I'll be looking. I'll look to see, you know, how quick Jaquan Jackson is in person. You know what I mean? Look to see that. Look to see how J.C. Latham is as far as getting his steps and, you know, doing everything he has to do from the left side. Is Bill Callahan talking to him? But I tell you what, more than anything else, I'm going to be looking to see how this coaching staff, this is going to be our first time seeing him on the field. So I want to see that energy from Denard Wilson in a press conference. I want to see how much he delivers that same energy on the football field. I want to see how Brian Callahan is going about station to station and working with the different position groups and things like that. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Now, should we anticipate, because I know how some of these rookie camps work, where they will add some of the veteran guys. It's more so the guys that have been injured. They want them to come in and be a part of it. Has there been any indication on what veteran guys may be a part of this rookie minicamp?
No, I don't know who's going to be a part of it. I would imagine somebody like Caleb Murphy would be there. You know, I could see that. I don't know who's going to be a part of it. You know, in the past, Mason Kinsey was, but I think his opportunities to do so have kind of run out. So we'll see, but as of right now, no.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, let's just take a moment and lament together for Edwin Diaz giving up the game-tying home run with two outs and two strikes in the ninth. I could taste the victory. It's but I'm trying to get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. You know, it's Edwin Diaz, not Jesus Diaz. So I'll give him a pass.
Okay. You made me
feel
better.
Tough losses for you this week.
We can't beat the Rays. We cannot beat the Rays in Tampa. We'd never beat the Rays in Tampa. Like, literally. Yeah. But, real quick, City Connect uniforms. Are you okay with them?
No, I don't really like them. I'm not for them. I don't like them.
City Connect uniforms in general, I'm not a big fan. Do the Cardinals have one?
The Cardinals are coming out with one, I believe, in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But that will be their first City Connect.
By and large, I think we need to downplay the entire idea of the City Connect. It's too much.
Make them good.
I find myself most of the time going,
blue and orange. I need those colors in the jersey.
Yes,
that's
absolutely. All right, so Teron, D-Mace has said a number of times, keep an eye on when the cuts start happening in the cap, June 1st, et cetera. Do you feel like there's a little bit more roster construction to do? How busy do you think the Titans will be? Or is this pretty much what they're going to roll with?
No, I think there's still some construction to be had. I think, you know, you could look at them, possibly look at the tackle heap if something comes off of there. Look at especially the tight end heap. You know, they got two undrafted free agents in there. But, you know, right now you're looking at five guys total, right? You know, Odukoya, Chig Okonkwo, and Wiley, you know, are the three already pretty much there. Then they signed a couple undrafted guys. So I would imagine as tight ends start to shake free, they'll look to add one of them. So, and also edge rusher, I think, you know, there are guys out there already, not exactly the best options, but I could see if somebody gets cut that they add them, you know.
So you think they're still in a cap position where they have some ability to go get a guy if there's something they like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They could go, and that is by design. They said they wanted to be in a situation where they didn't have to move stuff around. If there's a guy that breaks free, they could go get him. They're at around $26, $27 million in space to send. I think they're the fourth best situation in the league.
Cap space and flexibility is definitely an asset. So, Teron, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I was in Vancouver a lot in the post-draft days. I'm curious your opinion in particular about Tavondre Sweat, because that seems like a guy where the draft could hinge on his success. And he definitely has a ceiling that looks like it's really special. But I feel like there's legit concerns there, too. How do you go on him based on what you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely legit concerns. You got the weight issue. You got, you know, those types of things that you have to find a way to manage. And I think, you know, if you can work through that, you have a really good player. And you go back and you watch him. He's not just a bull rusher. His hands are really good. He's a guy who has that Tierre Tart, like, really quick swim move to get in the backfield quickly. He told me at the Senior Bowl that he watched Jeffrey Simmons to develop, you know, help develop some of his hands and that usage there. So I think, you know, you look at him, the thing that he does to me is help others, right? Because you put him there after a few bull rushes and forklifting the interior guys back into the quarterback, they're going to start double teaming them. And then what happens? You get Jeffrey Simmons one-on-one, that's usually a win. But then also in the running game, right, being able to sit there and occupy a couple gaps, that is critical, you know, especially when you have linebackers being able to come in and just get clean shots at at running backs and stuff like that. So he helps in multiple ways to just get that weight right. I'm not really concerned about the other stuff, you know, whether it's the DWI or the quote-unquote partying too much in Austin. I think that is something that could be corralled, and it's just a matter of putting the right people in front of him and guiding him in the right direction.
And I'm glad you bring that up, TD, because the player of Tavondre Sweat is so exciting to me. Anyone that watched that Texas defensive front should be excited about it. And I was listening to Moving the Chains on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and they were talking about, look, love the pick, love the player. But they said, I think the Titans should maybe bring Tavondre Sweat in on probation. And while probation sounds like a really scary word, it's essentially saying, look, you're on a short leash. Do you think that that's something that the Titans would entertain? And what do you think that would look like just to make sure that Tavondre Sweat is staying on the right track weight-wise, focus-wise, in his first few months in the league?
Yeah, I don't think that's the way they would approach it, or it's the way that they should approach it. I think you approach it with the understanding that, hey, look, man, this is it, right? You know, we brought you in. We believed in you. We trusted in you. We invested this time to visit you and all the things that we did. We believe that you will get right. And we have a support system in place to get you right. That's the way I would look at it if I were the Titans. So for me, no, I don't agree with that, the probationary or anything like that. Because I think when you go a probationary type of approach, you're doing it with the understanding that he will mess up again. So no, I'm not for that at all.
Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, Tyler Boyd was in Nashville this past week. I wanted to circle back with that quickly, TD. You said the numbers have to be right. And, of course, I wholeheartedly agree. Any of these deals, any conversations you have, any visits you have, the numbers have to be right. In your opinion, what would be the right deal? Contract-wise, money, years, what would be the right deal for Tyler Boyd?
Well, when I was saying the number has to be right, I was saying for them to make a move right now. And if they were to make a move right now before, because it was under the context of the question that Derek had asked in regards to them waiting or moving now. So for me, you know, I think that number would be in the 2-year, $14 million range, somewhere around there. Even that, I think, is a little husky for that. But that's the range that I think it would be in order for them to strike now. And it would have to be something that they have either a team option or some way to get out of after this, this year right now. You know, if they could get out of that, you know, with the understanding that, hey, maybe Burks will come around, boom, then you have it. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, TD, I think that's 2 for $14, maybe a little bit too hefty, because you don't know if he's going to be your 3 or your 4. And you definitely, if you know, Treylon does solidify himself as that 3, you don't want to be paying your 4 $7 million per year, or say, you know, just for this 1 year, $8 million, because you're probably getting 4 to sign and another 4 to play. You don't want to give that much to your 4th receiver. Now, if he becomes your 3rd, okay, you can justify it. But your 4th, I don't think you can justify that. Quickly, Stonehouse, what is the status on him?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be available. He's not going to be available for a bit into camp, if okay. That.
Okay, because there hadn't been anything said about Stonehouse,
yeah.
And
so
we understand that he was
there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was one of the important players for the Titans. He was a game. He was a playmaker for him in the kicking
yeah.
game. So yeah, you know,
the
just
field.
The status on him coming into this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's still questionable as far as when he's going to be back. That was a pretty severe injury that he got
yeah.
late November.
Yeah.
So I would imagine maybe into the season, but I haven't heard anything about him being ready now for sure.
Okay.
Teron, I think all of us, I always try to cross-check my evaluation of the roster, because I think, like everybody here, you want to believe that they – are going to be competitive mm-hmm. next year. But everything I see around the league still continues to be skeptical, I think would be the way to put at it, that I think the consensus fourth-place team in the predictions will be the Titans. Do you agree with that? Or I mean, because I can see why. Like, I'm trying to be realistic, and I try to take my prism out of it and say, okay, why is this realistic? Are they completely missing it? I can see where the Titans would be picked fourth. But where do you think they view themselves, and how do you view them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's realistic. I think it's more between the Colts and the Titans for the bottom of the division. But, you know, divisional games are always – they're always close. And this is a team that I think is going to be competitive. So they could sneak out a couple wins. But right now, you know, in my opinion, probably third competing for second in the division, that's probably where I would have them.
And I think that's fair. And, of course, it's easy to make those predictions in May, and then those predictions always change. I'm sure the Texans were projected to pick fourth – or, excuse me, projected to finish fourth in the division this past year, obviously. We saw what happened with Houston. But with that being said, I was looking at some way too early 2025 mock drafts. And I get it. I know. Doing mock drafts in May is absolutely ridiculous.
Hold on, Caroline. Wait a minute. Mock drafts for 2025?
Less about the players being selected and more about where some of these draft gurus... Yes, exactly. It was more about just... I think it said more to me about how good or bad do you think certain teams are going to be in this upcoming season.
I thought you were at a wedding this past weekend. I thought you had a full plate. What were you doing?
I was doing this last week, Willie.
Please
tell
me
I was off this weekend.
Okay, it wasn't the DJ at the wedding
or
anything.
We work hard, we play hard.
Okay. I got it.
But I was looking at what Dane Brugler's recent mock draft. And I know, the mock draft, ignore the player, but more so the projected finish. Had the Titans picking second in this upcoming draft. I think that it also had the Titans selecting a quarterback, Carson Beck out of Georgia with the second overall pick. That sounds to me, TD, like a clear indictment of Will Levis. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's fair, but you also have to look at, like, I don't know what The Athletic does, but I know a lot of outlets, what they do is use, like, a football power index or some type of computer projection to get to that. To that status. And so if they were to use that, I mean, I would imagine if the Titans finished as the second worst team in the league, a lot of that would be because of the quarterback. And so it would make sense for them to get a new one. But yeah, I mean, pretty much like all of the stuff that you see now, you know, Jaden Daniels wasn't even a first round pick at this time last year. So, and a while ago, Joe Burrow wasn't even a first round pick, you know, before he ended up being the number one. So a lot of the mock drafts and things like that, they're kind of equivalent to toilet tissue to me right now.
Yeah. Transfer quarterback you, I will say, about those two quarterbacks. TD, we've got rookie like minicamp going down this weekend. What are some things that you are looking for, and what do you think some things Titans fans should keep an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, as far as for a rookie minicamp, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. I think, you know, you need to look to see how these guys come in and how comfortable they are moving around. We'll have videos and stuff like that. And the interaction between the coaches and the players, that's really the main thing that I think, you know, should be something that everybody's looking forward to.
TD, appreciate you as always. Thanks for your time this Monday. Before we let you go, tell us about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, for sure. ESPN Bet has fans covered for the biggest moments on the road to the championship. It's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN and the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. And that's during the playoffs and also baseball. Everything that's going on right now, as a new user, you could get a $1,000 bet reset up to that in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. For problem gambling and support, call or text the TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
TD, you're the best. We'll catch up next week. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks. See you later.
Teron Davenport brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Always appreciate TD for stopping by. Willie, I don't think we've gotten to get your opinion. The Titans hosting Tyler Boyd for a visit. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it last week. My biggest concern is... if you're paying a significant amount of money and it blocks Treylon Burks, I think it says a lot about what they believe Treylon Burks is at this point. And I go back to something that I think is a central question for the Titans, and that is, in my mind, I think a smart move would be to let the kids play a little bit more. Like, we talk about it with the Predators a lot. They leaned against, after about a half the season, just letting the kids stay out there, mm-hmm. right? They went a different direction,
yeah,
and it benefited them, right? They went with Kiefer Sherwood and Mark Jankowski and Michael McCarron, and it wasn't a youth movement, and that worked for them, right? I think a little easier to play that game in hockey because you can send them to the minors, and there's still a benefit for a lot of those young guys to say, well, they still could do some growing in Milwaukee. You can't do that if you're the Titans.
Yeah.
It's either Treylon Burks plays a lot or you're moving on from mm-hmm. Treylon Burks. If he's not playing, he's sitting, right? You can't send him to AAA and say, let him be the main man for the next 2 or 3 weeks and see if he catches 8 or 9 passes and gets his confidence back up. Then we'll bring him back up.
Yeah.
That's just not an option you have. So you are potentially blocking him. So Boyd would have to be a difference maker, and that's fine, but I do think in the next 2 or 3 years, as you're trying to build towards a new stadium and build a younger roster, then you got to try to leave some room for younger players to develop and then hopefully re-sign, because it's in the NFL, it is time-tested. You can't just buy free agents 20, 29, 30 years old every year and expect to be really good, right? You might overachieve and be okay, but eventually you got to have that foundation where you draft and develop top-level talent. That's my concern.
My thing is with Treylon, you don't have to do anything with him, honestly, because you got him this year, you got him next year, and then more than likely, based upon next year or this year, you can pick up the fifth-year option, you know, on him. More than likely, I don't see them picking up a fifth-year option.
The fifth-year option gets complicated because it becomes expensive, right?
Absolutely. So
if he's not doing anything.
If you know, it's still sort of, you're still trying to weigh it after you bring in Tyler Boyd and you see those two guys, it's not a big difference with Tyler Boyd nor without him. You bring him in, he's a part of the depth piece. Yes, he's going to get some playing time, but you still don't have to move away from Treylon because it's not like you got to, oh, his contract is coming up. No,
it's not one or the other.
Exactly. No, he's not killing your cap.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't have to.
But can he develop, though?
That's going to be the issue.
Is there opportunity? Like, if they didn't have Ridley, if they didn't spend the money on Ridley, then I think I would be all in on grabbing Boyd to go with Hopkins, give you another veteran, and then still have that room for Treylon Burks to be in there. But having both Ridley, Boyd, and Hopkins, three veterans, you got a lot invested there. So, man, you better get some return on that investment, right? And then doesn't leave much room for anybody else to get in there.
It doesn't. But my thing is, too, because this, you know, the guys that you're bringing in, they've dealt with some type of injury or suspension or whatnot, but they're getting older. Calvin Ridley, D-Hop, and if you bring in a Tyler Boyd, they all are getting older. What you can't do is not have some youth on that team, because one of those guys go down, you've become a very old team very quickly at that position. Very quickly. So the speed or you've lost it immediately if one of those, especially if Calvin Ridley goes down for any amount of time, you lose that. So don't be so quick to move on from Treylon Burks. You don't have to. Allow this young man to continue to develop. I understand his first 2 years, they hadn't been, you know, what we expected. But I still believe he has something to show you. Allow him to show whatever it is he has left in him to help you make that decision on should we keep him for the future or not.
Yeah.
Because just giving up on him right now because you signed Tyler Boyd, that doesn't make your team better whatsoever.
I don't think that they would give up on him. Like, you're not going to trade. You could trade him.
You could trade him.
But I don't view going after Tyler Boyd as scrapping Treylon Burks and moving on, because I don't view Tyler Boyd as your long-term answer.
But I think some people are thinking of it that way. Like, oh, they bring in Tyler Boyd, then automatically Treylon is gone. That's not the case.
I think it's a reflection of Treylon, in that it might be an indication that they just have to find insurance.
Yeah.
That they need a third guy. That it can't just be Ridley and Hopkins.
Exactly.
And I know you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but I'll use Paul Kuharsky's line. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has an explosive. He did explosiveness. So they need a third guy, a certified third guy that they trust and they feel comfortable with. And Brian Callahan knows Tyler Boyd. It's a sense of familiarity. They want their best 11 out there. If that's Treylon Burks, put him out there.
Yeah.
If that's Tyler Boyd, put him out there.
But
you're
can you sit, if you're going to pay significant, if you get Boyd at a bargain, I get it, but if Boyd is making a significant money,
But I don't think you would have to pay him significant money.
Don't you think that's something that would be coming up? Like, why aren't you playing Boyd? You just went out and got him, and you were paying him. Why aren't you playing him?
But I don't like let's say TD said 2 years, $14 million. If you're paying him $7 million a year, or up to $7 million a year, that's not breaking the bank. Like, that would not
for a receiver, it is.
That wouldn't be so much of an investment that I would say I have to play him.
For your fourth receiver or your third receiver. Yeah, it is. That's a lot of money.
$7 million?
For your
compared to what
for a guy
are
that
making?
For a guy that may not be playing any special teams, and he may not be active. You got to understand when you're that fourth guy, you may not be
active.
But
that's assuming
if you
he
don't
would be the fourth guy. If he's the fourth guy, that means Traylon's playing well and he's available, and I'll take that.
Uh-huh.
To me, it's $7 million insurance.
But remember, you need cap space during the season too. Like when guys get hurt, like that. I see what D-Mace is saying there. I'd be a little concerned.
He wouldn't eat up a significant amount of the cap.
I think at that position, like you said, where you're not getting any special teams or anything, it's a little.
Unless you're going to force him to be a
gunner. He's got to play.
Yeah, he would. If you bring him in, he would have
to play.
He's playing. Because you're not bringing him in. We're just throwing out this arbitrary.
But we also said that about a first-round pick. Uh-huh. He's going to have to play. He hasn't.
Well, he has played, but he hasn't been.
He hasn't been available.
But he has to play.
He hasn't been available.
He hasn't played, and what has that done to the Titans' offense? It has hurt it.
Yes.
It's hurt the offense because he hasn't been in the offense consistent enough. It's hurt them because that's a loss of a first-round pick.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So he has to. You got to get him in there. The same for Tyler Boyd. If you bring him in and you want to pay him $7 million per year, he has to play. You can't because that will go under. People will use that against Rand again. Like, oh, you signed this guy $7 million, and he's just a waste on the bench because he can't play.
But if Traylon Burks is playing well, I'm not going to worry about who's on the bench. I'm gonna be talking about how well the offense looks because Traylon Burks can be part of it.
Oh, you're going to worry about it when you have to sign other guys and you don't have that money. You're strapped. You're right up against the salary cap to sign other guys. That's when you're going to think about it like, damn. We signed this guy and he
ain't even
playing.
I wish we had that $7 million to go sign.
I wish we'd have signed him for $3 million or $2 million because we'd have been able to stomach it a little bit better. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Because you could look at it like, dang, wish we had a fourth option at inside linebacker over a third receiver. See, I can't get on board with that because absolutely you need depth and you need to sign a safety. And like TD's just mentioned, they're probably going to go out and sign another edge rusher.
Yeah.
And you're not going to – if Tyler Boyd is going to inhibit you from being able to build up the defense in positions that you absolutely need starters at, then you're not going to make that signing. If the money makes sense, I think that the Titans should do it because I can't hold my breath and expect Traylon Burks to be healthy and available because he hasn't been. And if he is and he's healthy and he's productive and available, then great. That's the cherry on top. Let's get right into your Titans, Tyler Boyd, Predators. Predators fall in Game 6, 1-0 to the Vancouver Canucks. What comes next for the Predators? Right into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We are broadcasting from Restore in Gallatin at 327 Sumner Hall Drive. We have so many volunteers from the Predators, the Titans, Pella Windows and Doors, and all over that are building playgrounds for families in Sumner County. Habitat for Humanity has partnered with sponsors to provide children with a safe place to play and imagine what a safe home means to them. So appreciate all the volunteers out here and appreciate Pella Windows and Doors for inviting us here because it is an absolute blast and an honor to be here with Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County in Tennessee. We've got a bunch of thoughts on our text line. We've got Titans. We've got Tyler Boyd. We've got Preds. Unless we've got a thought, let's get right into the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. David in Arkansas texts in and says, fans shouldn't give up on Burks. I believe he can thrive in this new-look offense, or at least with the new coaching staff. A different voice can be good for someone. Burks was special in college. There is no doubt that he can do it for the Titans. He just needs to protect himself, if at all possible. I can't say that there is no doubt that he can do it for the Titans. I cannot say that definitively because we've had a 2-year sample size where Traylon Burks wasn't able to stay healthy. Is he talented? Heck yeah, he's talented. That's the reason why he was a first round pick. I mean, absolutely. We saw it in college. We see the size. We know the speed. We saw it at training camp last year before he got hurt. I was so encouraged about what Treylon Burks could do. So it's not a question of talent. It's just a question of, can you stay healthy?
It's
your best ability is your availability.
Availability is huge. But yeah. And I would like to see. That's why I'm leaning towards not paying the money for Boyd and leaving a little space to say, okay, I now have a head coach who's the offensive mind. That's supposedly one of the reasons why you wanted him, right? Hopefully he's got that leadership gene as well. Everything looks good so far. But now an offensive mind who might have a better way of bringing out the best in Burks. And it does hinge on him just being out there.
Yeah.
But I still think if he can be out there, there could be something there. And that would be a lot less expensive than paying Boyd.
Yeah, I mean, but I understand both sides of it. I understand
with more of a long-term benefit, too.
Yeah.
Because
totally.
You
well,
hopefully
yeah,
would
Boyd's
have,
not going to be your receiver right. for the next 5 to 7
Especially
years.
Considering the other two guys are older guys,
older,
too.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd is only, if you were to bring him in, he's a year guy. He guy you bring in just for this year.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, it'll be a 2-year deal, but really a 1-year deal. They can get out of it without any consequences to the salary cap, really. We talk so much about Treylon Burks and, you know, what this may do to him or for him or against him. I don't know. But we got to look at it from Tyler Boyd's situation, too. It's not just a far-gone conclusion just because Brian Callahan was the OC in Cincinnati. They have a history together that, oh, my goodness, yeah, he'd be a perfect fit here. No, he has to – because does he want to play for 1 year or does he want to play for multiple years? You get into a situation like this not knowing if you're the fourth or the third receiver. If I'm signing to a team, I'm a veteran guy, I got to know I'm coming into a situation where I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming in injured. I'm not coming in, you know, I'm having a horrible season. I'm coming in having a good season for a third receiver. I got to know coming in I'm the third receiver. Because after this, your contracts are going to start dwindling very quickly. If you come here and all of a sudden now you are outplayed and become the fourth,
mm-hmm.
You may not sign another contract after that because you're not going to get the playing time that you need to show other teams you can still, you know, contribute
right.
and contribute at a high level. So if I'm Tyler Boyd, I'm like, listen, is this situation advantageous for me in my career? Because it's not like I'm coming to the Titans and I'm winning and they're ready-made for a Super Bowl right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready-made for a Super Bowl right now. I don't care if I'm the third, fourth, or fifth wide receiver. I want to be a part of this,
yeah.
you know, this run because I'm getting older. You know, and I don't have time to be sitting around waiting on a young team to develop. He's coming into a team that isn't ready or primed for that, at least right now. If you don't come in, if you don't solidify yourself as that third guy right away, you're going to be in trouble the next following season trying to get another contract somewhere else. So we got
to
look at it.
Exactly.
We got to look at it from Tyler Boyd's situation, too.
Totally.
He
got
to want to come here once he sort of looked at everything. I went out to L.A. Is L.A. a little bit more advantageous for me and my career moving forward, or the Titans or somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all predicated on the Titans wanting to sign him. It's him wanting to sign here.
If the Titans give the best offer that they can give and it's still not good enough for Tyler Boyd, then that's up to him.
Yeah.
That's free agency. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't view that this is the best, most advantageous move for his career, then he's not going to make it, and there's nothing that the Titans can do about that. The Titans have their offer. Their
yeah.
price is their price. Money talks. We know that money can get players to go, you know, maybe not the most advantageous place because it's the best offer that they have. So the Titans have their offer. If they have a dollar amount in mind and it fits and it aligns with what Tyler Boyd wants, then great. If there's a better offer somewhere else that the Titans just aren't willing to give, I can live with that.
Well, it's not even necessarily, I think, it's not as vet, as you start to get older, at least from my standpoint, as you start to get older as a veteran guy, it's not necessarily about the money, because listen, whether you're making, you know, the top dollar or not, when you get in a season, it's about me playing. I could be making $8 million on the bench and I'm going to be upset, very upset. We've seen it. I don't care how much money you're making, if you're not playing and contributing, you get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you feel you're doing what's necessary to contribute.
Yeah.
So you
and you're going to get the noise from the fans
exactly.
going, what's so-and-so, he's making $7 million, he's not even on the field.
Absolutely. You know? So it's not – it's I understand the money part, but for older guys, it's like I got to be involved in a team. I got to be involved in the offense. I got to be playing. Yeah, y'all paying me this money, but if I'm not playing, I'm just an unhappy person with money. Mm-hmm. Now I'm coming to practice every day. I don't feel that sense of being a part because I'm not. Yeah, y'all paying me a lot of money, but I'm not a part of what's going on. And then y'all going to be looking to either trade me before the trade deadline, or I'm not going to be a part of this team next year. These are all the things that you that people are not thinking about. They're thinking it's just a one-way street. It's not a one-way street. Mm-hmm. It's Tyler Boyd wanting to come here knowing, you know, if I do come here, these are the things that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or the Titans, you know, not wanting them or wanting them. So it's a two-way street here.
Totally, yeah. Welcome to free agency.
Exactly.
It's not always in your control. Andrew's on the line with a thought on the Predators. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Just kind of piggybacking off of the conversation I guess before you guys had went to Tehran. So I feel like the Preds have a history of having a plethora of talent at, like, one position. I want to say, like, during the tough run, it sort of felt like it was defenseman. And then now we kind of find ourselves in the situation with our goalies. And this kind of leaves me with two questions. One of them is the need for second-line scoring. I think we can all agree that something outside of the first line, we need some more scoring. And so what I'm asking is, would a trade of Staros or Askarov give you that in return?
I think that's a central question that Barry Trotz has to try to weigh with every other option of trying to, because it's hard to get the number one center, right? In a perfect world, you find a number one center that bumps Ryan O'Reilly down to the number two center.
Yeah.
Colton Sissons / Tommy Novak, 3-4, you know, then the lineup really looks like the type of lineup that could really come at you with a lot of layers. Like, I think they, in fairness, even though I can sit there and say this is the highest scoring Predator team of all time, tied for the most goals in 82 games, they sort of overachieved to get to that, I think. And that is Andrew Burnett, that is Gus Nyquist, that is Ryan O'Reilly. But I think going forward, you look at, were some guys playing a little bit above their, punching a little bit above their weight? Mm-hmm. I think the answer is yes. And a number one center would set everybody back. Like, it's like a bad bullpen in baseball. You're like, oh, this is a bad bullpen. But if you had the awesome closer, and you all of a sudden the guy that was closing that's not that great is now your setup man, and your setup man is now your setup B, you know, now all of a sudden the bullpen looks really good. Mm-hmm. So the problem is it's really hard to get that number one center. They don't grow on trees. So the other way you go about it is, how do you compensate for that? And they did a great job of that this year. But I think that's a little easier to do than to say, how do we get the number one center? But I do think his question is one that Barry Trotz is weighing, is, can I get the number one? The answer is obviously no, not yet. Because I think if somebody had offered him a number one center for either Askarov or Staros, he might have taken it. But it's got to be a certainty, right? Especially for Staros. Like, Askarov, it could be I think this guy could be a number one center for a guy that could be a number one goalie. Mm-hmm. That might be the way to go, because it's going to be hard for somebody to say, I'm trading you my established number one center, because those guys are so hard to find.
Especially at the trade deadline. Right. If you're making a push for the playoffs, you're not trading your number one center.
But who is the last real number one center to get traded as an established number one center? It doesn't happen.
Because they're so hard to come by.
Right.
So why trade him away for a piece for a goaltender that has been, over the last couple of years, results would show that you don't necessarily need that elite goaltender if you have that elite number one center.
Okay, Willie, is there anyone else? Because we're just looking at, we're talking about Askarov, and obviously you see, we've been talking about UC the whole season, whether they should sign him back, trade him, whatnot. Is there anyone else on this team that is trade bait? Or is it just, you know, UC Staros and that's it, because he will bring – because the one guy that I'm looking at, and I know that it would probably be a no-no, but they went down this route before. And the GM was the head coach then. Do they make a move? He ain't getting no older and younger. Roman Josi, eventually. Yep. Because he's 34 now. He's not a free agent until 2028, I believe. which makes him 38 years old, at least 37. Yeah. I know that's not something anyone wants to breach. I didn't want to, but I'm just looking at it because we're talking about just one guy in regards to trading.
Yeah.
How much can we get for Yusei? How much can we get for Askarov? Because he's a young guy that seems like he has a lot of potential. But is that's why I asked the question. Is there anyone else on this be trade bait? I'm not asking that he be traded, but I'm just saying.
Okay, so let's take Yossi. First of all, okay, so he turns 34 in June, so next year will be his age 34 season. Mm-hmm. He's the captain. Mm-hmm. He just had a Norris Trophy level season, so he's not deteriorating at all. Mm-hmm. He's got a no trade clause, so that's the first thing you'd have to go through. And I think, you know, you better tread lightly before you approach him and say, Roman, you willing to be traded?
Because once you have that conversation, that's opening up an entirely different
then
category.
But my thing is he's not getting any younger.
But he has to decide that he wants to
be I understand that part.
I understand the thought process. Uh-huh. But
so the guys that you would have that conversation about are probably guys that you would have that issue with. And that Forsberg would be another guy. He's also got a no trade. You just invested in him. I still think you're trying to add to what those guys bring for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I would doubt seriously. But it's a great question to ask because Barry Trotz is looking around saying, how do I get this roster overall to the next level? So even if the number one center isn't available, then how do you compensate? Can you find three number twos, right, and just have a little bit more by committee, which I think they had a lot of success with this year. Like with Zucker and Beauvillier, that gave them a little more veteran presence that helped them, I think, in that playoff series. But I don't know if either one of those guys are going to be back. So what does Cody Glass look like next year? What about guys like Kemmel and Svechkov and LaRue who are playing in Milwaukee? Will they be ready to help next year? Parson and Tomasino. You know, these are all areas that you're getting all the information you can from the scouts. But at the end of the day, I think for them to really be in the conversation with the Colorados and the Dallases and the teams that you got to beat is they've got to find a way to upgrade what they've got right
now. And listen, I'm not advocating for Roman to be traded, but these are the things – because, listen, Barry didn't sign him to this contract. Mm-hmm. You know, so Barry could be like, listen, we love you, but we are thinking from a organizational standpoint – and this is one of those options. We may not even ever say anything to Roman Yossi, but these are the things that we think about behind the scenes. Like, how do we get our team from here to there as quickly as possible?
It certainly helps if you've got young players that infuse your roster with talent because they don't cost that much. That, to me, is going to be a big question is, look, the Athletic – is one source, but they do a lot of research on it. But I think regardless of the publication, Nashville has got a very deep group of prospects. Is there an elite guy in there? That is probably the number one question. But there's a lot of really good players in there. If one or two of them turned into very good players over the next couple of years, that would certainly help with the firepower, you know, that finisher that I think this team on paper lacks a little bit to be considered an elite team. They're a very good team.
Yeah.
It's like the old saying with Vrabel, how do we go from good to great? Yeah. I think that's what Barry Trotz is looking at right now. How do we get from good to really good?
And there are pieces that you feel encouraged about after this playoff series. Evangelista.
Oh, I like where he's going.
How could you not be fired up about what Luke Evangelista could become over the next couple of seasons? Yusuf Parsonen. I think you can be encouraged by what you saw from Yusuf Parsonen.
Despite kind of a disappointing year. I'm sure he was crushed to get sent down, right? But I think he made the most of it, came back and showed in that playoff game that he's not a guy to write off. Mm-hmm. So where does he ideally fit? These are all questions. I thought Parsonen, for this team to make the playoffs, I would have said, well, Parsonen's going to pop. He's going to go wild. He didn't.
Yeah.
Tomasino didn't pop. They still made the playoffs. UC Saros didn't have a top 10 goalie kind of year. They still made the playoffs. These are all things I would have said had to go right for them to make the playoffs. So there was so many positives despite all of that happening. But I still think this young nucleus is a big part of the answer to these questions.
Back into your phones coming up next. Plus, I do want to address one text that I keep seeing over and over and over again in the text line. And frankly, I disagree with it vehemently. And we'll address it coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we appreciate Restore Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County for having us out today. They're building playhouses today for families in Sumner County. Really, really happy to be here, and they've done an amazing job putting up these playhouses. Honestly, they look nicer than my actual house itself. I need to move into one of these playhouses. But Willie, we're discussing the predators. We're right back into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. But one overwhelming sentiment that I feel like we've been getting in the text line all show long is same old predators. You know, get into the playoffs and then they get bounced in the first round. I don't agree with that. This doesn't feel like the same old predators. I know it's a similar result, and I know it's the result that make a lot of fans frustrated that you keep knocking on the door, but you just can't quite get in. This does not feel like the same old predators to me. There's a lot more optimism coming out of the end of the season than I feel like maybe years past.
I feel really excited about where it's going because of what we talked about. They have a lot of draft capital that they've built up. Mm-hmm. They have some prospects that are in different areas of development, but they have already started that process. They're on the verge of helping the team. I think that's a really good place to be, and they're not over the cap. I would be concerned if they had lost in the first round, mortgaging the future, and it still wasn't good enough to win in the first round. Just try to keep perspective. Vegas just went all in, as they do every year, and lost in the first round. And now they've got a mess. They're going to have to give away some players, just like they've been doing. It was worth it last year. Yeah. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, they missed the playoffs doing that. This year, they lost in the first round. So you could be the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs have won one playoff round. They tanked for years, got high first-round picks. So my point is everybody's got problems. Yeah. The L.A. Kings are another one that I think are interesting to look at. They've lost to the same team 3 years in a row now in the first round. It's Groundhog Day. Are they getting better? Mm-hmm. They've lost by a wider margin in each of those series. Or is it just because the Oilers are getting better? Who are their goalies? Remember, the Kings tanked for 5 years. Five. Oof. Between the last. Remember, they won two cups. Mm-hmm. They had to bust it all the way down. They built it back up. They should be winning now. And they are getting to the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff round. It is hard to win in the playoffs, no matter what you do. So try to keep that perspective. Mm-hmm. And don't act like it's easy to win in the playoffs. It is not. So the moves they make in this offseason, I think the best way I would describe it is they have options on how to get the team to the next level. They're not exasperated and at the end of the line. That's why I'm optimistic about it.
It feels much different than 2022. We are asking ourselves, yeah, now what? Now where do you go from here? Obviously, there are a lot of questions of where do you go from here following this season, but it's couched with a lot more optimism, mm-hmm, in my opinion. Shout out to Restore for Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love of your people. Happy Monday and peace.